In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In this series of sermons, I've said a good word for foolishness. Not all foolishness, but some apparent foolishness is godly and wiser than it seems, wiser than this world recognizes. And I've said a good word for doubt. That doubt can play a valuable role in the journey of faith. It can help us to mature in our faith. And I've said a good word for obedience, not a popular thing, that if we're obedient to God and to our spiritual mentors, then surprisingly, it can set us free from some of the most insidious forms of enslavement. And now this evening, I want to say a word in favor of weakness. And weakness and strength are not what they seem. God turns them upside down, as that reading from the Magnificat we heard this evening makes clear. What seems weak can be surprisingly strong, and what seems to be strong can be just disguising weakness. It's a fundamental message of the New Testament, and I think it's something the 20th century psychology has helped us to understand better, that appearances are deceptive, that what's going on the surface is often different from what's going on deep down. What St. Paul is telling us in that reading we heard from him is that God is often calling us to be weak, because there's a hidden strength in weakness. It's really a fairly distinctive idea of the New Testament, but there are some hints of this in the Old Testament, in the suffering servant of Isaiah, for example, who's despised by everyone, but by whose wounds we are healed. Another important strand in this thinking in the New Testament is the way Christ is said to empty himself of his glory, to make himself of no consequence, to take the form of a servant, in effect, to become weak, to become one of us. And Jesus himself says that the servant is not greater than his master. Jesus became weak for our sakes, so we're called to become weak too. But we can't really give up strength unless we first become strong. So it's those who already have a sense of strength who are especially called, like Christ, to give that up. St. Paul talks a good deal about weakness, how he became weak to win the weak for Christ, how he became weak to get alongside the weak. And to those who feel weak, the gospel brings the hope and promise of becoming strong. However weak you feel, however limited the resources seem to be, the Lord can give you strength. And the text that I offer to those of you who feel weakest is, God is our hope and strength. In the Old Testament, God was the strength of Samson. Samson was not just a brute of a man, there was a secret to his strength. And the key phrase in the intriguing story of Samson is where it says that he did not realize that the Lord had departed from him when he shaved his head and his strength left him. He did not realize that the Lord had departed from him. It was because he dedicated his life to God that he'd not shaved his head. And when that mark of dedication was no longer in place, then he lost his strength. There are many occasions in the biblical story where people who are weak find strength in God. And another important example is when Jesus' disciples, demoralized by his crucifixion and not entirely restored by his resurrection, find strength through the Spirit to proclaim the gospel and eventually to convert the world. As I say, I think we can in some ways understand all this better with the help of 20th century psychology than previous generations may have been able to. Because we know that apparent outer strength is a poor guide to the strength we feel inside. You can be apparently strong on the surface, but still feel weak inside. Indeed, surface strength is often a mask that hides and protects an inner sense of weakness. And equally, you can be apparently weak on the outside, but actually have an inner strength that's very effective and is in fact stronger than people realize. And there are many examples of that. I suppose one of the striking examples of the 20th century is Gandhi, who through his work of passive resistance in India, apparently weak, managed to overturn the empire there. So there are two complementary gospels to be preached here, and probably at least one of them will apply to everyone here. Maybe both of them will apply to some people. Both are gospels in the sense that they're good news. There's one gospel that's addressed to those who feel weak and inadequate and insecure. And the other gospel is addressed to those who feel strong. To those who feel weak, don't try and cover up your sense of weakness with a superficial show of outer strength. It will only be superficial strength, and it won't get you very far. It probably won't impress people as much as you think and hope. Much better to offer your sense of weakness to God and let him use your weakness as he used St. Paul's weakness, and gradually, in his own way, transform your sense of weakness. God can use what seems to be weakness to fulfill his purposes and to confound the powerful. God raises up the humble and meek, as the Magnificat tells us. And in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, the humble in spirit. Admitting your weakness enables you to be humble, and becoming humble helps you to be open to resources beyond yourself, and being open enables you to receive strength, not pseudo strength, but real inner strength. It's a core message of the gospel that, like a lot of religious truths, has found its way into the psychology of C.G. Jung, who would remind us that if we're to find any kind of salvation or individuation, as he would call it, the ego needs to know its weakness. Unless the ego recognizes its weakness, there's no chance of it opening up to a strength that is beyond itself. And unless the ego does that, there's no prospect of individuation, of wholeness, of fulfillment. And that life journey, we need to recognize our weakness. We need to become humble. We need to be open in order to receive strength. That's to those of you who feel weak. And to those of you who feel strong, be thankful to God for that strength. And in thanking God for your sense of strength, recognize that all strength comes from Him. And if your strength doesn't come from God, it could be not so much real strength as just a way of being arrogant and overbearing. And don't let your sense of strength stop you from being humble and open. Because if you become increasingly open to a spiritual strength that comes from beyond you, your sense of strength will become more deeply rooted. There are deep paradoxes here. Weakness can be deceptively strong. Strength can be deceptively weak. What's going on the surface can often be a poor guide to what's going on underneath and in spiritual reality. So let us all, through the Holy Spirit, seek that kind of true strength that does not despise weakness. The kind of true strength that is more than our own strength. Let God be our hope and strength. Amen.